Welcome to Real Flicks Reviews. We're like a book club for people hate reading. This month they're doing sci-fi, so Ryan picked the movie Children of Men. We bring you movie news. This week we have Jonathan Charney, James Stevens, Ryan Preston.
And the old guy is still here.
In 2027, in a chaotic world in which women have become somehow infertile, a former activist agrees to transport a miraculous pregnant woman to a sanctuary at sea.
You know, I saw this movie in the theaters, and all of a sudden I realized, I didn't recognize the name, and as soon as the movie started, I went, oh, it's this movie.
Yeah, I've seen this movie at least twice before.
Yeah, and I actually kind of liked it.
The black guy who played Luke, every movie I've seen him in, he's always kind of an asshole.
Oh.
You thought he was an asshole in Serenity?
Huh?
You thought he was an asshole in Serenity?
Yeah.
He was an asshole. He was a nice guy.
He was kind of a nice guy.
Yeah. I mean, totally a nice guy.
No, he was kind of an ass. Come on.
No, he was a nice guy. He just was on the wrong side.
But, you know, there's very little that Clive Owen has done that I don't like, though.
Good point.
He is in all kinds of stuff. When you look him up and you see what he's done, you kind of go, wow.
Yeah, he's got 66 films to his name. One of my favorite ones is Shoot 'Em Up.
Yes.
And, I mean, it's everything that you need to know about the movie is in the title.
That's about it.
I love the simplicity of that. But literally looking at the things that he's done, there's very little that he has done that I really don't like, that I won't watch again at some point.
He seems to be able to pick good movies to be in. Yeah. But let's not digress.
I bet I could pick a movie you'd never watch him in is that Pink Panther in 2006.
Yes.
Well, okay,
that is one of the things on my list that I don't like.
No, I wanted to find... I
hate you, Steve Martin. Go away.
Ooh.
I said that. I'll say it again, too. I hate you, Steve Martin. Go away. Anyways. But back to this film.
Steve's calling.
I'll kill him.
Okay.
He hung up.
He heard you say that.
The line went dead.
He's an anti-gun liberal, so of course, as soon as you said that, he ran.
But, you know, I got to say, for this film, it's a very simplistic story. And I got to say, they made it longer than I felt it was necessary. And they bogged it down in a few parts, but the one thing I gotta say that I enjoy about this film, and I've enjoyed it every time I've watched it. No, there's little hints and things in the beginning that if you pay attention to, you see it basically in continuity throughout the entire film. There's little things like the box of with a Q on it.
Mm-hmm.
You see that. You see ads for it. You see, I can't think of the guy's name right now. His friend, the old guy.
Michael Caine.
Thank you, Michael Caine.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez, why couldn't I remember his name? Anyway,
somebody just said it.
You saw the box in his house.
Did you cough? Did it taste like strawberry?
That was amusing, too. And then the dog. The dog thing that they were doing. And then they have a dog that looks like it.
Yeah.
That was barking outside of that. When they got into the refugee camp, one of the houses, they got a dog that looked exactly like it. So there's little things like that that are fun in this film.
Mm-hmm. And
which is hard to say fun in this film in the same sentence.
I love the atmosphere they presented, even like James said, in subtle stuff. There's a comment about the government is handing out suicide kits and antidepressants with food, but weed is still illegal. The stuff like that, I love subtle jabs and subtle add parts to really add to the environment of the movie.
Yeah, Ryan had a point, though.
A few
things to talk about.
I agree totally with John. I love the stylistic choices. I'm a huge fan of the dystopian future sort of vibe.
As long as you don't live there.
Like James said, it's kind of a simple story. It's a simple through line, the baby being the magical briefcase. But
you get to see it.
But it's such a complicated world that doesn't get bogged down in the explanation of the complications of the world.
Yes, true.
You know, it says things like they mention sort of in passing about these tragedies in New York and then in Spain.
Right.
And you as an audience member are like, oh, I wonder what happened. But they don't waste 20 minutes explaining
telling you right.
those times of things.
I love that because that was a total throwaway line that added to.
Right. Well, see, in a lot of these movies, what you'll end up seeing is some version of the Star Wars scroll in the beginning, this 10-paragraph thing of what everything has become.
What happened, yeah. right.
Thank you for that, Lucas.
This movie doesn't get involved in that. It just lets you sort of witness everything.
Yes.
And I like that style of filmmaking. And it almost struck me as like a documentary style, the way the Steadicam sort of following him around.
The other thing
is the tone quality of the whole movie was basically the same all the way through.
Yes, and very little music.
Yeah, and I'm just wondering if, you know, was that done on purpose? Was your budget not big enough?
I mean, for the quality of no
yeah, music? I mean...
I think the music choice, for lack of music, I thought was perfect because it highlights the sparse and barrenness of the world. I don't think you needed to highlight anything with music because I actually think it would have taken away from the visuals if you had some sort of crescendo.
I was actually talking more about the cinematography of it.
Yes, the cinematography was very... I actually kind of want to say bland.
Yeah.
But it fits the film.
It does. I'm not saying it was wrong. It was just very interesting.
I'm not saying it wasn't perfect for this film. What I'm saying is that the choice they went with was not very bright, colorful.
Right.
It had kind of an
surreal.
It kind of had like an indie feel to the way it was shot a little bit, which I really liked in this.
Yeah, indie, but the world, like if you're paying attention to it from sort of a producerial standpoint, it looks so expensive to be able to put that together. But then film it like it's such a low budget movie. It's kind of this, you feel like it actually exists a little bit more. I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what I'm saying about the cinema, the color scheme, mm-hmm. or if that's what you want to use for it. It was very kind of gray, hazy,
right?
Almost, and it just really it fit with what they were trying to do, and it went very well with it.
It totally reminds me of a Pink Floyd music video, though.
Well,
especially with the pig flying, man. God, I love that.
Oh yeah, that was funny.
I love the way that Julianne Moore went.
Yeah,
it was so quick
and unexpected.
Huh. Just as you said, right there.
But it wasn't anticlimactic either.
But
they introduced the character.
It was a very good death scene, I gotta say, though.
Yeah.
For this type of film to have a death scene like that was very well. I didn't think Michael Caine's death scene went as well, but they weren't trying to have it go as well. It was more of a torture kind of information type of...
I actually thought his scene was... His death scene, I thought it was a little... Not quirky, but a little blotchy, you know. I don't know, something about that just did not seem to flow very well.
Well, but see, I think, personally, I disagree with you on that. I think it's the other way. The guy was a quirky, kind of crazy guy anyway, and I actually think that he played that scene absolutely perfect. He was acting like the crazy stoner that he was.
Yeah.
I had read that he had based his character on John Lennon.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really, really interesting, because it's not... He's not doing a John Lennon impersonation, but it's sort of his interpretation of what a John Lennon character would be like in that world.
So does that mean the chick in the wheelchair was Yoko Ono?
That would have been fine with me.
I'm sorry.
he was alone.
But I agree with Rob, though, in as much as that I think his character would do that. What is, if you notice his sort of when it's panning through his house, kind of going like by his... awards and magazine covers and things, you could sort of tell from there that he was like a political satirist, a cartoonist guy. So it sort of stands to reason that would be his last little, you know, F you, pull my finger.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right, I'll pull my own finger.
Yeah. Right. No, I liked it. I thought it was good, but I thought it was... We lost Ronnie. More of like kind of like a torture thing that they were drawing it out.
Yeah, right.
And... Did you guys enjoy Charlie Hunnam, Jax from Sons of Anarchy?
Yeah, you see his face maybe turn towards the camera once.
Yep.
Yeah, other than his voice, I mean, unless you just finished watching Sons of Anarchy, you almost wouldn't recognize him.
Yeah, he kind of blended in.
It was really well done on that. I thought his character was really good, but it was so short.
But I mean, it was so memorable, though, for such a...
Yeah.
Like, which one was he?
The dreadlock guy. Yeah. The white dreadlock guy.
The guy that died? Mm-hmm. Like, running into the...
Didn't they all?
Into the hay bale, or...
No. He didn't die running into the hay bale.
Shot...
He got okay. shot. He got shot in the Ryan's saying, but the building.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I wanted the thing. The other thing that I liked in this movie that really stood out was the politics. I loved you had the bad guy, which was the state, and you had the fish or the movement or whatever it was called, and how they were equally as evil, because they wanted to use this unborn child as like a figurehead. Like, look what we did. I loved the how they showed that of. You know, that there's really no good side except for individual people. I thought that was really well done.
It's very interesting that, you know, they took the stance that any immigrant into the country, you're out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're either born here or you're not here. And
yeah.
And that's kind of like, whoa.
It seemed kind of, it was based on a novel, which, by the way, I love. The only thing that they changed for this movie, the only major thing was it was the women's fault, not the men's.
Oh.
In the book, it was men that were infertile and not women. So I thought it was sort of odd that they changed that. What was the point? Anyway,
yeah, well, it was mute, really. It didn't matter.
It was based on a book, and I completely lost my train of thought of where I was going to go.
Obviously,
well, there was. I'll say real quick. There was another movie in the 80s, 90-ish that had a similar theme about how people were infertile, and then there was one woman. So this. You know, who they had to rescue. So this definitely isn't a new theme in the movies.
Doesn't it play out better that you've got this one pregnant woman instead of this one guy that's fertile?
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, it does play. I mean, obviously, the fertile dude would have to get the woman pregnant. Anyway, yeah. I remember I was going to say, the book, since it was such a powerful novel, I mean, it was kind of the indictment of not just the political structure, but kind of the de-evolution of human beings sort of in these kinds of situations and how we react to, you know, that kind of adversity. The headlines that were going through in the beginning and sort of throughout the movie were, you know, suicides are up and, you know, going crazy and everybody's just kind of rioting in the streets. And it seemed not to be pulling any punches with the citizens as well, you know, as the government side of it.
Right.
So that was interesting.
Yep.
Yeah,
I was gonna say the other thing I really liked was how violent this movie is. The main character wasn't violent.
Yeah, never touched a gun,
which I thought was amazing. He did a couple of things defending, like would open the door on people, punched a few people, but that's it.
Yeah,
he never touched a gun. I think the most he did was smash the guy's head with a big rock, but
you know. A couple of times.
Yeah, he always did manage to lose shoes though.
Yeah, that was one of the things that bothered me about the guy was that he wasn't going for guns in situations,
but that fits with his character.
Where it could have worked,
like this sort of pacifist.
He's an activist,
activist guy. Right. You know?
Yeah,
which I really like the fact they kept the character the same from the beginning to the end. Didn't have this "I've got to defend myself," you know, revelation moment in the middle of it.
Yeah,
that was really cool. Yeah.
The director of this film, it explains a lot about his. Knowing things that he's done in the past. Alfonso, I'm not even going to bother with his last name. But he is known for Gravity as the director. And also Harry Potter, Prisoner of Azkaban. He's got a lot of different things.
Itu Mamba Tambien was sort of his breakout one back in.
Yeah,
back
and office. That's one I didn't really like.
It was beautiful in as far as the visuals concerned. The story was just a little
The story was dumb.
Can't anyway, like but, everything.
The one that he's really known for is Gravity. And looking at that film and this one, the style and the way that he did it is very similar.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and he's a big fan of those real long blended pants. Sort of shots that kind of really capture your attention. You know?
Yeah, yeah, they get your attention, but. I think his steady cam work needs to be steadier. There's a few times that he's in the car and kind of panning from the driver all the way to the back, and it's like gets back to Clive and the girl, and it was kind of still a little shaky at moments. So that kind of bothers me.
Complicated shot though.
It does.
appreciated that one a lot.
But it takes me out of it.
I really kind of liked the little bit of shakiness to it. It wasn't like hardcore, you know, like not obnoxious shaky.
I'm just waiting for you. Went over a bump. I didn't go over no bump.
Well, yeah, that's true.
You shot him in the face. Now, I had to give Brian a little help on where I was going.
What did you do that for?
I love the fact you had to help him with that.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. Anyway, but that's kind of what it makes me think of. It's like, come on, I like a little bit more smoother with the visuals on some things.
You know,
I understand the complications of it and the difficulty of it, but they've got more stuff these days. Spend another $10. Go for the steadier one.
I do love...
Well, this was made a few years ago.
I do love the Snake Plissken part of having to break into a prison to be free. I thought it was funny, you know, or, you know, kind of like, really? You know, that was the only thing that I was kind of like, eh.
The thing that I never really...
Hello?
Sorry.
Does it work?
Sorry, no.
All right, anyway, you're on call tonight, aren't you?
Yeah.
Made him look.
Rob got you. Anyway, I never really liked Clive's death scene, though. In the middle of the boat. It always felt like it just... It was kind of a letdown.
Well, in one way, really, it was sad to see him... After all of that, it was sad to see him die. But, you know, of course, you have to have an ending like that.
I think one of those planes should just bomb the boat. If you're going to go that route, just destroy everything. Ruin the entire damn movie.
That boat at 700 miles an hour.
Hey, if they can hit it, they deserve it.
They just need a bouncing bomb.
I thought it was lacking.
His death scene, it kind of left me going, because the way he died, I didn't really care about his death, so it didn't really make me go, oh, that's a bummer. It was like, well, at least she got where she needed
to
go.
Well, but see, I looked at it the other way. I mean, one is he did everything it took to get her to that buoy, and, you know, even though he was shot and wounded and died, he made sure that he got her there.
Twisted his ankle or broke it or something.
I mean, the poor guy was beat to hell, and now we find out he was also mortally wounded as well. Right. And, you know, and then in the timing that ship had to be there and everything, I thought the way he went was perfect because he didn't appear to be in pain. He just kind of, right?
I completely agree with you. And to even add to that, like, it was as if, like, you know, that was pretty much what he was going for. He was probably wounded couple hours before and bleeding out, but it's like, I have to make sure that I get this lady safe. This is my entire goal. And once that was done, once he knew that she was safe, it's like, okay, now I can relax. And then he just relaxed into death, you know?
Right.
And did anybody else think in the future it was strange you could roll start cars?
Yeah, on automatic, that was weird.
The Brits must have something really different.
I was going to say, as far as that British cars, it just really wasn't one of those things. It wasn't like
that yellow banana.
They, however, should have shown the truth of the story with a lot of oil underneath it.
Yeah, but I really, at that point, to see him die, it was just like I saw it coming. I guess is really why I just didn't really care.
That's what it felt like to me.
It's like, I lost interest in him.
Well, it was the end of the movie anyway.
Yeah.
So it kind of left you with a...
Okay, so you got an eh for 10 seconds and it was done. It moved on, so...
Yeah, I was like, I honestly really felt like, okay, I want the boat to sink now. You know, he dies, everybody else needs to die.
So, Ryan, did you think this movie was too long? Because, you know, James thought it was a little long. I actually thought... I thought it was close to being perfect length.
I thought it was right on the money. I didn't think any of the scenes dragged on. I wasn't, you know, like, oh, when's the next one coming along? Or I wonder what's happening with this side of the thing. It seemed to all pace really well.
I really disagree with you. I don't think the pace of it was as well as you're making it out to be. I really don't. I think it wasn't horrible. It didn't make me completely just lose interest in the movie. Like I said, at the end with the death scene and the kind of like how that dragged out, I had lost interest by that point.
It's stupid, but you know.
Yeah, that's cute. You always know how much I care.
And he was also right the whole time. Just let everybody see the baby.
Yeah, and I agree with that. Yeah, I was absolutely. Like, you know, let's wrap it up right there. Everybody yeah. sees the baby. Bam, you don't die. Let's move on.
And the world has hope, and things can go on, and it would have changed everything.
Rob, we were talking about pace. And
yeah, I mean, what do you think? Did you think it was too long, too short?
No, actually, I'm with Ryan on this thing. I agree. I think the pacing was... I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the whole thing. I didn't think the movie went too short, too long. So I was good with it.
So you did want to commit seppuku like you did last week? Blaster?
What okay, was that? I had two of you talking to me.
Repeat that?
Something about Master Blaster.
Did anybody notice Master Blaster?
No.
Master Blaster?
Was he in there?
When they first got to the prison, there was a midget on a guy's backpack.
Oh, yes.
Oh, so that's awesome.
Wait, this is Thunderdome.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's good or bad that I'm the only person who knew what you were talking about.
Who runs I got Carter it. Town?
I got it. I know you're pointing fingers at me.
It's okay. No, it was the James too. But I mean, at least with this movie, unlike last week, I didn't feel like committing Harry Carey, you know, or needed antidepressants.
Oh, what a huge privilege it was to watch this movie.
This movie all the way through, I really liked the pacing, the coloring. I really loved kind of the bleakness of the tone quality because I thought it added to it. And it didn't do like some movies who in this kind of dystopian future, there was no acid rain, no this, no that, just infertile and crappy environment, blah, 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 blah.
And animals everywhere.
Yeah. So I give this a 4 to 5. I really like this movie. James?
You know, I'm actually I'll be the Russian guy on this one. You two, know, I three. Enjoy the movie, but, you know, the first time you see it, I say it's really great.
I could definitely see that.
You know, seeing it 3 or 4 times by now, I got to say it's like mediocre to me now.
So what would you give it?
I'd give it a 3. Just meh.
Okay.
You know, that's
seriously where I'm at on it. You know, I've seen it 3 or 4 times.
I understand that that's your opinion now, but I mean, that's what you would rate the movie if you were telling somebody like, oh, it's a 3.
If I was telling something about it, I'd be like, you know, you watch this by yourself. I would tell them to watch it by themselves, enjoy it, because if I sit with you, I'm going to be like, ugh. We're on this part again.
You would do that anyways if you'd never seen it before.
But we're not here to review a movie so somebody can see it 3 times.
Well, I'm saying it. When I see it now...
For the very first time, what would you give it?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. We're not going to put it
on 3. Okay. So the movie didn't get any better, didn't get any worse.
So, Rob?
I'm going to give it a 4. I enjoyed the movie, and I think I've said everything I need to say.
Ryan?
4. For the story, for the visuals, it's no wonder that they hired this guy to direct something like Gravity. You know?
And I didn't like that movie either.
And wow, that's and we're gonna switch it up right now. We're gonna talk about our the TV show we're doing. We're picking a Netflix original, House of Cards, episode 1 or chapter 1 or whatever they call it.
God bless Netflix.
I was gonna. The one thing I really liked about this, the constant breaking of the fourth wall, how he would look at the audience and talk to him, it kind of had like a Zach Morris embellish.
It's the story told and through the one person's point of view.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is. Kevin Spacey's, you know, what I thought was really cool is then he'd look at the camera and make some...
Zach Morris.
Yeah, some strange remark or smirk or... at the inauguration, you know, this shows, you know where you are and the power of things as you're closer to the present you are, and it pans away, and he goes, you know.
I thought that was amusing.
So that was amusing.
What were you saying, Ryan?
Oh, I was going to say it's because of Saved by the Bell and the Zach Morris thing that it took me about 20, 25 minutes to kind of get around that one. But once I became a fan of it, I liked it. But in the beginning, I'm like, wait a second. We just really went to timeout. So, you know. Yeah. But once the character started to kind of develop a little bit for me, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna really enjoy this little gimmick, you know.
I loved how this started because it showed his character right off the bat. No holds barred.
Dog
boom,
killer.
This is him.
Yeah.
Dog killer.
And I think that was
dog
the perfect
killer.
Yeah. Well, no, dog killer.
This has made me want to... I'm going to start watching the rest of the seasons now.
You could have gotten a wheelchair for him.
And this was...
Yeah, this, yeah, to me, right. it's what we got in this episode was a glimpse at a whole bunch of moving parts, and we don't know what the machine is yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
True. I kind of got a feel that it's going to kind of have more of like a... I kind of want to say like a Sopranos meets government, but I don't want to get into saying it's Sopranos, but I mean like the mafia type thing where there's like a, he's like the boss that's got a lot of little underlings.
It's government.
That's kind of what I feel.
Pretty much that's what government is. Somebody has to pay, always has to pay the Vic.
Legal mafia.
Yeah.
It's pretty much what it is.
I'm not arguing that. That's what I'm saying. I just... That's kind of what I get a feel that this one's really going to be. It's going to be more a real mafia kind of thing.
Maybe with little like sons of...
Don. I'm sorry to annoy you, Don.
Maybe with the little sons of Anarchy or the shield thrown in.
You have come to me on my daughter's wedding. I must give you any wish.
Something. Come. And I may call on you to do a favor for me.
And the other line I thought really punctuated his character... was when that young reporter was in his residence, and you know, after she stripped off her shirt, you know, her
neck. She figured tits would get her in the door.
And his wife's comment said, "Does that work on anybody?" He said, "What?" And her comment was a push-up bra and a V-neck T-shirt. And his response was, "If it does, I don't know him." I love that because it shows how nothing phases him. Everything's planned.
He was so beyond that.
I just loved the little glimpses of his personality.
Well, his character is that it's all, you know, it's all for him. I mean, whatever it is, every angle, everything is what's in it for me.
Yeah, it's the ultimate game show.
And also his wife, dude, Robin Wright is freaking killing it in this thing. Oh, yeah. And it's only been an episode that I've seen.
Yeah.
She's just as much of a...
Oh, yeah. What a badass in the end there when she tells the office manager, you got to cut the staff in half. But you can't, you're going to cut this, you know, and it's like, whoa.
What about the part when she's just like, my husband doesn't apologize, not even to me.
Way she... Even to each other, like, they're cool. Badasses.
And then he goes away and breaks her fine china. So make sure you stay next.
I don't care.
Make sure you stay next week where we talk about episode 2 or whatever they're actually
called. Actually, that's what they're doing. They're not really giving them titles. It's like chapter 1, chapter 2.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah. Too.
Make sure you stay for that.
Looking forward to it.
Also, remind you that we do have a Facebook page. Please tell us, do you love us, hate us? Is there a movie you'd love us to review? Or, hey, do you want us to read your mail on air? Let us know. Also, please pause for the cause and help fund Old Guy Tech and Real Flix Reviews for a little longer, please.
One of these days, I'll make your sister happy and pick Blue Velvet.
Oh. So,
I made her happy by picking perfume, the story of a murderer.
So Brian, you're up for movie news. Go.
Oh, wait. Don't I get my pick?
Not yet.
Oh, not yet.
Oh, we do that later? Yeah. Oh, damn, I want my pick.
No, please, go ahead.
I'm sorry, the boss said I can't. So
you gotta go first, Brian, because
I already know what it is. You wanna know what it is? I'll tell you.
What is it?
I guess he's not interested anymore.
Well, he's trying to quickly get movie news.
Okay, well, since Ryan's looking right now, what movie are you picking, Rob?
Well, now, are we going to change or not?
We're going to move around because Ryan's still looking.
While Ryan's looking at movie news, I decided we're going to watch I Am Legend with 2007 with Will Smith. I truly enjoyed the movie. I'm looking forward to watching it again.
Yeah. Awesome.
I'm down with it. I actually kind of want to see his new film, Focus.
That might be the theater pick.
Oh, yeah, God.
I was thinking about it, too.
If that's the case, I'm going to be skipping that one because I really dislike most
John
of Will
John can go
Smith's
and watch
50 movies.
Shades of Grey. He likes porn.
I generally dislike most of Will Smith's recent movies.
Well, okay.
We're doing one of recent
as in
movies.
What? 2012, 2014?
Probably last 5 years. Name a movie he's done in the last 5 years that's any good. After Earth was ridiculous.
I gotta pull it up. But yeah, After Earth was pretty bad.
Yeah, but that wasn't his fault.
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
No.
It was him and... Yes, it was, because they picked M. Night Shyamalan a Ding Dong to direct it. It was... So, Brian,
he was
in
it for a paycheck.
Okay, well, just one thing that I thought of right now that I think happened in the middle of the week that we didn't know about last week when we did this. but Harrison Ford went and wrecked an airplane.
He did.
He crashed his World War II fighter, British, I think it was.
No, plane. American.
Was it American?
Yep.
What
I don't know. I only saw pictures of a Millennium Falcon.
It was an American trainer.
Was it called the Ryan T-22?
I never heard the plane's name. Or
well, unless they misidentified it, or I'm confusing it with another airplane. I believe it was an American two-seat trainer, but that's okay. What they did get wrong is where he did crash in the golf course, but it was in Santa Monica.
Right,
not in Venice. They kept saying Venice.
Did he get a hole in one?
Did I say Venice?
No, not you, but the news. When the news reported, oh, he crashes in Venice. And I go, where did he crash in Venice? And they said this golf course. No, there's one next to the airport in Santa Monica. So, anyway, just to correct.
Anyway, 10-mile difference.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's...
10-mile in 5 hours.
Weird thing that it's not his first plane crash.
Oh, no.
He's apparently done this a couple of times.
He's been a pilot for maybe 30 years.
Yeah.
He first learned to fly helicopters. And one of the reasons he did that is because he bought that huge 50,000-acre ranch in Montana, and about the only way to get from point A to point B was to fly his own helicopter.
Well, don't forget, he first crashed the Millennium Falcon.
And he did. Oh, that's true. That's funny. But he crashed a helicopter. He had a helicopter accident once as well. Right. So. He's an active pilot. He flies all the time.
And there's a few in Indiana Jones. And he's walked away from every one of them. There's a few in Indiana Jones he crashed. Yeah.
Well, the dude survived the nuclear blast in a refrigerator. He's okay.
True. If you can do that, man, he's going to. Way to go, lead lined refrigerators.
Just leaves a sick taste in my mouth thinking about that.
All right, are we good?
Say it's a
rope. Yeah, I think we're good.
We got anything we've done?
So, ladies.
I was going to say Hancock, but, you know, that was made in 2008, so I guess that doesn't count.
So, ladies and gentlemen, I gave Children of Men a 4 to 5. James gave it a 3 to 5. Ryan gave it a 4 to 5. Rob gave it a 4 to 5. Next week's pick is Will Smith's I Am Legend. And as always, we'll see you next week. We'll be right back.